Hi, I'm Joe Feeks, editor of Pig Health Today, and with me is Dr. Pam Zabel. She is a veterinarian at the Center for Food Security and Public Health at Iowa State University. Pam, thank you very much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
A secure and dependable supply chain is critical to any business. Pork is no exception. You've been working on a program now called Secure Pork for quite some time. Tell us about it, please.
So the goal of the Secure Pork Supply Plan is to provide, as you said, a workable continuity of business plan for pork premises that have no evidence of infection during a foreign animal disease outbreak.
And that's really the focus here, is that if there's a foreign animal disease outbreak, that could disrupt the supply.
Exactly. So what happens when we get, well, specifically the Secure Pork Supply Plan focuses on classical swine fever, African swine fever, and foot and mouth disease. So if we would get a case of one of those diseases in this country, and the USDA and the animal health officials of the different states react to that incident, there will be a quarantine put around those premises. And the quarantine will include infected premises and non-infected premises. So the secure food supply plans focus on those premises that are not infected or show no evidence of infection, so that they can continue to move animals to other pork production premises or onto slaughter. So we're focusing on those that are affected by the quarantine, but not infected by the disease.
And when you say quarantine, I'm assuming that it would be mandatory compliance?
It would be a mandatory government-issued quarantine. Yep. They're working to stop the disease spread, and we're just making sure that those pork premises that are caught up in their response can continue on with business.
The pork industry isn't the only food animal industry that is concerned about foreign animal diseases. What, if anything, have you learned from avian influenza in poultry, for example?
One thing that we learned from the 2015, we went back and started revising our documents, especially in the area of biosecurity. You know, the pork industry has a lot of good biosecurity measures in place, but one thing that we've learned is that there's a big difference between biosecurity against endemic diseases that we have here and biosecurity against diseases that we don't have here. So with the highly pathogenic AI, the biosecurity that was tested in the poultry industry, which we thought was pretty good, wasn't adequate enough. So we went back and did some revision of our biosecurity documents to enhance the biosecurity measures. So while we have plans in place, and many of those measures that we take, that we follow through every day on pork production sites are very good and will need to be followed, we'll actually have to ramp it up in addition to those steps to protect us against these foreign animal diseases.
Did the PED outbreak in the pork industry back in 2013 kind of provide a dry run for this program?
Well, I think one thing that it did help us do is realize some of our areas where we thought we were doing well and maybe we weren't. Helped us realize that there aren't enough truck washes in the United States to be able to handle all the washing that we would need to do during a foreign animal disease outbreak. So I think it's helped push us into looking for some other ways to handle the diseases and not what we thought we had in place already.
What can producers and veterinarians do at this point to better prepare themselves for a situation like what you just described?
We are updating our documents regularly as new technology comes out. But right now, what we have in place is there's several biosecurity measures that they can take. We have a what we call Secure Pork Supply Biosecurity Checklist. And there's 10 different things on there, more than one underneath some of the categories, that they can go ahead and implement now, or they can be prepared to implement. There's a couple things on there that they're not going to do right now, but the minute that it gets in this country or is in Canada or Mexico, that they would be ready to implement it right away. So they can go through those biosecurity measures and see if they're prepared, make sure they have a written site-specific biosecurity plan for the site on how they're going to implement all those measures. One thing we've added since the HIPAATH AI, the avian influenza, was a biosecurity manager on the sites to make sure someone is there, ensuring that the employees are trained in biosecurity, that the people coming on the site know what they need to do to follow the site's biosecurity measures. So as far as biosecurity, there's some things they can do. There's also a few things they can do as far as surveillance goes. Mm-hmm. You know, when we have one of these diseases come in, there's going to be regulatory officials that are going to want to collect certain samples to determine if a site is positive or negative. And depending on how large the outbreak is, they may have their resources really pushed to the max. And so it would be really good to have the producers or the production employees trained in collecting certain kinds of samples. And in many cases, these are the things that they do right now. One thing that we'd like to see is oral fluids be one of the samples that's utilized during an outbreak, testing a large number of pigs. And there's people doing that every day on production sites in the United States, testing for PRRS. So we just want to make sure that they understand the importance of collecting it correctly and where they would need to send it through to. So those are things they can do to prepare. Another one is to have their premises identification number. Every site needs to have a PIN. And that number needs to reflect the location where the animals actually are located. Make sure that it's not a business that's in town, a house, that sort of thing. It needs to be where the animals are so that they can find that site during an outbreak.
So, I mean, this program is really more about ensuring an ample supply of pigs through the industry and, of course, eventually to consumers, but it's really an animal welfare component to this too, isn't there?
There is, and that's one of the things the animal health officials during the outbreak will need to decide. There's a risk of moving animals that should have no evidence of infection, and they need to balance that risk with the animal welfare concern that if they don't move those animals, there's going to be an animal welfare concern. As we know, the pork industry is very fluid. Animals are moving to the next stage of production regularly, and so if they don't move, there's a consequence to that too.
And I would think that in some ways it's even more challenging in the pork industry than it might be in poultry, for example, because it is so segmented.
Right. Well, and you know, we're doing this in concert with the secure beef supply and the secure milk supply. And the secure milk supply addresses moving milk. You know, it's a commodity, it's not a live animal. On the beef side, it's moving animals. Right now, they're focused on moving animals from the feedlot to the packing plant. They're going to go back and work with the cow-calf segment next. But again, you have animals that can maybe sit in those feedlots a little bit longer than what some of the animals in our production facilities can sit there before they move. So it is something that is really needed within the swine industry.
One final question. What can swine veterinarians be doing right now with their customers, their clients, to get them to be thinking about this more and to be, you know, be better prepared in the event of an outbreak?
The herd veterinarians, they can go through and make sure that there's a biosecurity plan in place that is reasonable. You want it to be something that the employees or the owners can do every day, especially during an outbreak. I mean, biosecurity is not easy and not convenient. We say that a lot, but these foreign animal diseases aren't either. And so they need to have biosecurity plans that the measures they can follow now and have the measures ready to take action on when the outbreak occurs. So the veterinarians can play an active role in the biosecurity on the site, as well as training to make sure that the employees are fully trained to be able to collect the diagnostic samples.